So last week, a British newspaper called The Daily Telegraph reported that leaders in Saudi Arabia have decided to lift the ban on women driving. Women are not allowed to drive in Saudi Arabia. Now, that news that the ban might be lifted raised excitement among a growing number of Saudi women who are fighting for their right to drive. Though the government has not made an official declaration, women like 21-year-old Sally Hijazi of Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, remain hopeful. Sally started a Facebook group called Saudi Women Can Drive, and we spoke to her earlier about her struggle. Why did you form this Facebook group?
Actually, I made this group to prove to some Saudi guys that there is, in the Saudi Arabia and around the world, people who support Saudi women to drive inside Saudi Arabia. And in 4 months, we got like we are now 5,000 members.
And why is this something you think so many people care about? Why do you care about this? Why is this an issue that you think is important?
If I want to go to the supermarket right now, I will switch my car on and I will go. But if I don't drive, I will wait for the driver or someone to take me to the supermarket, and if he's free or not, and this will become more complicated than switch on the car and go to the supermarket and bring whatever I want.
And right now, how do you get around in your life? If you need to go to appointments or go see a friend, how do you get there?
We got our own driver and we got our own car, so he takes us wherever we want.
And is this typical for families, upper middle class families, usually will have a driver for the women?
Actually, most of us must have our own driver because we cannot go anywhere if we don't have driver. Even like our brothers, our family members, the guys, they can pick up and take us wherever we want, but we cannot relate it to them. When they want to take us, they will agree. So we will go. If not, we cannot go outside.
You know, I would sit here maybe in the United States, and if you tell me, right now I have a chauffeur that drives me everywhere, I think, well, that's not so bad. You have someone who gets to drive you everywhere. You don't have to bother.
Actually, I got my own driver. But how about the other girls who doesn't have anyone to take them wherever they want? How about the poor people? How about the single mom? How about the ladies who their husbands died? How about all these other women in the place, you know?
Do you know how to drive?
Yeah, actually. I got some lessons from the guys in my family members, and I can handle it.
You can handle it. And who taught you to drive? Your dad or your brother?
My brother.
Your
He's
brother.
The one.
And so is he supportive of this? He agrees that you should be able to drive and other women should be able to drive?
Actually, he wouldn't mind if it's allowed. He wouldn't mind.
And when he taught you how to drive,
yeah.
Where did that happen? Did that have to happen in a very private place, or
actually, out of the city?
Outside of the city.
Yeah.
So did you have to make sure that no one could see you when you were doing this?
Yeah, actually.
And what about your parents? What do they think about this?
My mom supports the idea for sure because she wants also to drive. But my father, he's like, care about what's gonna happen for us if we just start to drive. He's just worried as a parent. He don't want us to drive.
Do you actually like, what do you like so much about driving besides getting from point A to point B? Do you enjoy the act of driving a car?
Yeah, actually. Even listening to music while I'm driving, my favorite one. And it's really nice.
Lastly, I want to ask you about the picture that you posted on Facebook is a photograph of the symbol for BMW.
Okay.
Why did you choose this symbol?
Actually, this is my favorite car, which we got one. And I would read a lot I'm waiting for the days that I can't drive this car, you know, and I want to buy my own one.
Okay, well, Sally Hajazi, thank you very much for speaking to us from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Joe.
So, you know, Allison, it was interesting to talk with Sally about this so-called government proclamation. Apparently, it's getting a lot more traction internationally than domestically. The first time she heard about it was on MySpace. Someone had posted it on her MySpace account, and that's how she came to even acknowledge or know that the government was thinking about doing this. So clearly, it makes you question how much of this is really about
the veracity.
The veracity. How is it really going to happen, or is this something that they perhaps make a proclamation in the wake of international pressure?
Well, there are still so many opponents who say this will bring sin to the streets.
Exactly.
The people because who do not think that women, because they're already segregated outside the home all the time in every other way in terms of shopping or even being on the street, so.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to keep track of them, basically.
Right.
And they say it's for their safety as well. They don't know what kind of men could approach them when they're out about in the world. Also, safety issues with how much of your face is exposed.
Well,
when
there's
you're
the strict modesty laws, and I think people are concerned about the erosion of them. You know, not
slippery
saying right
slope.
Or wrong, but
no,
that's
but
the
some
truth.
Of the concerns. So we'll see if it actually happens.
Coming up on the Bryant Park Project, you click them, we pick them, a roundup of the most emailed, commented on, and viewed stories around the web. And I have my favorite story I've been talking about all week, Miss Utah.
Yay,
I have a thing
so
for
fun.
Miss Utah. I'll explain why.
I can't wait to hear. And the indie band Ida, they perform for us next. Stay with us. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.